Welcome to another adventure. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. It is my privilege to bring you along and share some of the things that will happen today. Of course, the purpose of this video is to provide you with comprehensible input. You are on your own adventure. You are learning English. You are improving your English language skills using this magnificent resource called Comprehensible Input. If you can understand what I am saying, and if you find this content interesting, then you will relentlessly learn more skills in English. You will improve your listening comprehension. That's super important. If somebody talks to you in English and you cannot understand them, that's a big problem. So you're working on listening comprehension. Perhaps you would like to speak with more confidence. Comprehensible input helps you with that. A lot of people would like their pronunciation in English to be better. Comprehensible input to the rescue. In order to help you in your journey, I speak a little more slowly than the average person speaking English. That gives your mind a chance to process what I'm saying and understand it. If I were to speak very rapidly, then it would be harder to understand. I also pronounce words very clearly. I don't mumble. Clearly spoken English that's a little slower is a great resource for people trying to improve their skills. So you're on a quest, you're on an adventure, that is improving your English, and I'm out on a hike. Where am I? Well, this is a national park. This is Pinnacles National Park in the Central Valley of California. I've made a lot of videos from parks, and I have explained that there are many kinds of parks. National parks are run by the National Park Service, which is a branch of the U.S. federal government. There are state parks, there are county parks, and there are city parks. But this is a national park. In order to come into this park, we have to pay. It's not very much, but we have to pay for the privilege of coming into the park and enjoying what it has to offer. This park is not very close to where I live. Coming here required me to drive about 2 hours. I don't recall how many miles that was. It was more than 75 miles for sure. I simply don't recall how many miles it was. I would like to take a hike here in Pinnacles National Park because it is very beautiful and very interesting. There is a lot to see here. When people go hiking, they can go by themselves. I'm able-bodied. What's that mean? Well, I don't need to use a cane or crutches. I don't use a wheelchair. I'm able to function independently. So I'm capable of taking a hike by myself. I take a lot of hikes by myself. On the other hand, I find that hiking with other people is a lot of fun. It's nice to share the experience with other people. So let's do a thought experiment. Let's think about something and figure out what would happen. Imagine that you would like to take a hike. Today is Wednesday, so imagine that you would like to take a hike on a Wednesday. So you send an email to 50 of your friends and propose a 5 to 6 mile hike on a Wednesday morning. What's going to happen? I think for most of us, we will get no takers. No takers is a casual expression that you'll hear often. If you make an offer and someone accepts that offer, they take the offer. So if you make an offer, that is, join me on a hike on a Wednesday morning, and nobody accepts the offer, nobody takes the offer, then there are no takers. So in our thought experiment, you offer 50 people you know to come hike with you on a Wednesday morning, and no one wants to come. Why? Well, it's not because they don't like you, and it's not that they don't want to go hiking. It's they have jobs. They have kids. They have responsibilities. They have plans. So it's a practical problem. If we want to do things and we offer it to our close friends, there's a real good chance that no one will join us. How do we get around that? Well, in recent years, technology has helped us. I'm not the only person in California who likes to go on hikes. I don't have to hike by myself, and I don't have to force my friends to come out here to take this hike. I don't have to ask them to take off time from work or find someone to watch their children. No, I just need to find hikers who would like to come at the same time. There are many ways that people find like-minded people for activities. And these activities need not just be hiking. It could be bicycle riding. It could be various crafts. Some people would like to do pottery with others. People have a lot of interests. And it is useful to be able to find like-minded people, people with the same interest, but people you don't know. Now, I don't promote any organization here, but let me give you a couple of examples here in the United States. There's a website called Meetup, and there's another one called Stitch. These are websites that we can subscribe to, and then the websites have groups within the website who have a variety of interests and a variety of activities. These are not dating apps. These are consensus groups for people to find like-minded people for activities. This hike today is sponsored by Meetup. I found it when I checked the site. It was offered, and so I signed up. I have hiked with Meetup before, so some of the people on this hike will be people I know, people I've hiked with before. Some of these people today will be strangers. It's okay. One of the nice things about these organizations that set up hikes like this is they set the tone. That is, they talk about proper etiquette, and they tell people what they should bring. If you're going to go on a hike in the middle of nowhere, you should bring what you need. So what is the middle of nowhere? That's a casual expression. If I'm hiking in the city, well, then I'm in the city. But let's say I'm hiking in a place where there are no houses, no roads, no stores, and no people. There's nothing there except nature. That's the middle of nowhere. I'm in a remote location. If you're hiking in a remote location, you're hiking in the middle of nowhere. So what should you bring for a hike out here in the wilderness? How about water? That would be a good thing. How about food? Maybe some snacks. How about appropriate dress? How about appropriate clothing? Excellent. Maybe a hat? Maybe sunglasses? Sunscreen. The sun is getting high in the sky, and if we're going to be hiking exposed to the sun, we would want some sun protection, solar protection, sunscreen. So I'm coming up with a list of things I would want. I have a couple of choices. I could hold that list in my brain. I could just put that in memory, or I could write it down. So I have a fundamental problem. That is, my handwriting is not very good. So technology to the rescue. Yesterday, I typed out on my computer a quick little checklist. The checklist ensured that I not forget anything for this hike. On the checklist, I put all the things I would need to bring, things I wouldn't want to forget. So where's the checklist? Oh, the checklist is at home because I don't need the checklist here on the hike. I needed the checklist when I was packing the car. So what was on the checklist? Well, I don't have it with me to read it to you, but I have it in memory. Water, food, sunscreen, hat, appropriate hiking shoes, lunch, snacks, including fruit. That was my checklist. Okay, so I packed the car. What's next? Well, I needed to drive here. I used my smartphone to check for traffic. My next topic for meeting people at a location for an activity is punctuality. That is, how can you join someone on a hike, for instance, if you show up late? You miss the opportunity if you show up late. In order to be on time, you have to plan ahead. Being on time, we call punctuality. I want to be punctual. Now, different cultures deal with the topic of punctuality differently. Some places in the world, some cultures, if you plan on meeting a friend after work and you specify a time, they may be an hour late. That is not punctual. Other cultures put a great deal of value on punctuality. Now, I'm not going to single out nationalities or cultures and criticize them. It's not my style. It's not my place. I do observe that, for instance, Germans tend to be very punctual. The culture I associate with Germany values punctuality. I lean that way. That's my style as well. I would rather be 5 minutes early rather than 1 minute late. I don't want to be late for anything. I want to be early. I learned that from my parents. My dad was very punctual. Now, how we deal with punctuality and planning depends on the event. How important is it? Is this event something that's going to start? And if you're late, you're going to miss it completely, like the departure of an airplane, the departure of a boat, the departure of a group on a hike. So if you deem it very important to be there early, then you put that in your plans. Also, the conditions will dictate how much time you allow. If I am going to meet someone and they are only 15 minutes away by car, and if the traffic is not likely to be severe, I might allow an extra 5 minutes so that I'll be a little early. But this trip here is a 2-hour drive, and it's during morning commute traffic, and the route went through San Jose. So I needed to factor that into my travel plans so I'm not late. So did I leave the house 5 minutes early? No, I left the house with an extra hour so that I would be here an hour early. That's extreme, isn't it? Well, it was part of my plan because it gives me the opportunity to make this video and it ensures that I will not be late. If you're on a 2-hour trip in a car, while you're traveling, the travel conditions can change. A traffic jam can develop, one that you did not anticipate, and you can be delayed. As it turned out, today there was no special problem with traffic. Nothing happened, and I'm here a full hour early. I'm standing near the campground here at Pinnacles National Park. It's hilly terrain. This area is flat because it is where the campground is located, There are a lot of trees here. This big tree behind me is an oak tree. Across the road, behind the camera, are some cottonwood trees. Cottonwood trees are common in the western United States, and they're almost always very near to water. Cottonwoods need a lot of water. The presence of those cottonwood trees tells me that there's probably a stream, there's probably a creek right over there. They grow very close to the water. So at this point, I'm going to go to the meeting point and see if I can meet up with the other folks. On the hike, I'm not going to burden the other hikers with my video production, but I'm hoping to make some footage on the hike so that you can see some of the wonderful things that we are seeing here today. So we have hiked about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles. It's been fairly level. You can see the trail behind me is very wide. There are some stones. You have to pay attention to where you put your feet, but this is not a difficult hike. In that direction is the entrance of the cave. Now, this is not a cave in the sense that it was excavated by water. This is a cave that developed when huge boulders from above fell down into a canyon and got jammed in that canyon. So we are going to be going under and over various boulders as we go through what is called the cave section. We will go uphill through the cave and emerge on the other side. This is a very interesting national park. It has two entrances, the west and the east entrance, and the roads do not connect. So today we arrived at the east entrance, but we can walk to the west entrance, but we can't drive there. The roads from one side of the park to the other do not connect. So we're going to continue on our way toward the entrance of what they call the cave. And I think you will see that it's very much a cave, but it didn't form the way a lot of caves form, with erosion of rocks creating a cavity. It formed when huge boulders fell into a canyon and blocked it. And then people found their way through those boulders. From this point of view, from this location, you can see the cliffs above us, the large rocks and the terrain. This place is beautiful. Our hiking trail substantially follows a creek. Here's our trail, and then to the left is a creek, which right now is dry. But a lot of the year, during the winter, for instance, it will have flowing water. Some of the trees near that creek are cottonwood trees. We are now getting close to the beginning of the cave. You can see this is a canyon. This is a large boulder lodged in the canyon. So we have to go across this little ramp up those stairs. Now, these steps have been put in by the Park Service. They are a great service to us to be able to climb up through that slot. Here we have a huge cliff. It's overhanging the trail. And then the trail continues. There's water running through this little stream. It's moving very slowly. In this section of the trail, we are walking in the riverbed. And then you can see where we're going to go. Ahead of us, we're going to go hand over hand over these boulders. I'm going to stop recording because I need both hands. Here you can see the entrance of the cave section. Above us, you can see huge boulders that are stuck in this canyon. They are not going to move. They are stuck there, and they've been there for centuries. The Park Service has a gate that they can lock so that people can be restricted when they choose.
So I guess they come up and walk with the knife so that we can sneak in there at night?
Now I need to get out my headlamp because it's going to get really dark in here. When we enter here, we've got light from an opening in the ceiling, but later we will not be able to see with natural light, so we all brought lights. Okay, you can see I have my headlight on. Let's see how this goes. Because of the terrain in this cave, the use of all four limbs was required, so I put the video camera away and took a few pictures with my cell phone. You can see this part of the cave was illuminated by our headlamps. This picture shows you the arrows that have been painted on the inside of the cave to help people avoid getting lost. Here is a crevice from which we emerged. This was a dense part of the cave, and we stepped out of that to come out into the sunlight. We continued on our way through this narrow canyon full of boulders. Here we had to descend under some very large boulders. Here you can see one of my fellow hikers ahead in the sunlight, having passed under these large boulders. It got very narrow in this section, and one had to crouch down low to get under this boulder. This is the gate at the far end. The Park Service has the ability to restrict access to this cave. We've hiked out of the cave, and now we're back on a trail. It's going to be relatively level, and then the trail will pitch up. And we're going to climb up to the base of the cliffs, and it should give me an opportunity to show you the view. Here you can see the scenery of this canyon. We're hiking up the canyon. We're not going to go to the top of those cliffs, but this is some of the scenery that we see on our hike. This is the trail that we're currently walking up. My fellow hikers have gotten a little bit ahead of me. This is not a strenuous hike by any means. The big problem with hiking in a place like this is the exposure to the sun and the need to have enough water. It's possible to become dehydrated and overheated, and that's dangerous. So we rest in the shade and we drink lots of water. Here's a view of the scenery from here. And as I pan slowly to the left, you can see the trail on which we are hiking. After we got back to the parking lot, I saw this female wild turkey with a single chick in the grass. You can see them walking. There was only one chick. I'm back to the campground. Our hike was a total of 5 hours. It was roughly 2 hours out, roughly 1 hour out near the caves, and then nearly 2 hours back. So from the time we left this campground to the time we were back in this campground, the elapsed time, the total time, was 5 hours. We spent the whole day hiking. It was wonderful. Everybody brought a lot of water. We each drank a couple of liters of water. We needed it. It got very hot. It was more than 90 degrees Fahrenheit on the high point of our hike. We had no troubles. We didn't get lost. No one got injured. And nobody ran out of water. We were all happy to get back here to the campground. And instead of jumping in our car to drive home, we adjourned to a place here at the campground that had plenty of shade and some picnic tables. We spread out a lunch and sat for about an hour and enjoyed a nice lunch. We also drank more fluids. So we were all very refreshed by this lunch, and now we're ready to take the long drive home. It will take me nearly 2 hours to get home, but this is not a problem because I will be listening to a podcast in German. I have the privilege of getting more comprehensible input. Years ago, I might have been fairly impatient when dealing with a long drive or a traffic jam, but now a traffic jam is just more input. It's not really a problem anymore. I hope you enjoyed this. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.